I'm Elizabeth Van Ostrand, professional internet hobo.
I'm Timothy Tilling Lawton. I don't have a title.
I used to be an effective altruist, but formally resigned earlier this year. Timothy is still an effective altruist. Today, we're going to explain our positions and each try to convince the other to come to our side.
I like the idea that we start with, why would one even want to be an AI? Let's start with you.
I have memories going back to when I was a teenager of caring a lot about the effectiveness of charities. I remember my mom explaining to me that her job sounded more noble, but my dad's well-paying job let them donate to charity in ways that were much more impactful. I'd been following developmental economist blogs for years, and Chris Blattman talked about direct transfers a lot, and I love the idea of direct transfers. I kind of refused to donate to charity until I could find something at least that good. Google was doing a much worse featured charity this winter I was working there. And I was like, no, I'm not donating to your stupid Plumpy Nuts charity. Only direct cash transfers. And then 4 weeks later, they featured GiveDirectly. So it's like, oh, I guess I'm committed to this. And from GiveDirectly, I found GiveWell. I'd read Scott Alexander's blog for a long time, so I vaguely knew the term effective altruist. Then I met one of the two co-founders of Seattle EA on OkCupid, and he invited me to the in-person meetings that were just getting started. And I got very invested. It's worth noting, Seattle EA was founded by 30-year-old rationalists, which I think is very different than most people's introduction. But at that point, when I found EA, it felt like coming home. This was what I wanted. These were people taking the things I cared about seriously and working to do better at them. At that point, I had tried being a programmer over and over, and it just was not working for me. I couldn't find a way to be happy doing it. And then I found out about Wave in 2015, and it was just everything I ever wanted. I worked so hard to get that. I was so committed. Turned out still not good at it, but as of 2015, 2016, I was incredibly dedicated to it.
To it being?
I was dedicated to Wave, but also I was very dedicated to the larger EA cause. This was something I really believed in.
And I hear kind of the foreshadowing that I'll already feel a little bit sad about.
It was really sad for me, yeah. This was something that was a huge part of my life and that I'd invested a lot into and vouched for, and I think done harm to people by vouching for it.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like you were betrayed by the community, the first community that felt like home to you.
Yeah. I do want to say part of that is because I was a naive idiot, and there's things I should never have taken at face value. But also, I think if people are making excuses for a movement that I shouldn't have been that naive, that's pretty bad for the movement.
You shouldn't generally recommend that lots of people join a movement if naivete within the movement is dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is going to come up later in the conversation. The fact that EA recruits so heavily and dogmatically among college students really bothers me.
But that's such the natural target audience.
I don't care.
Well, I imagine a crux for you would be it does so responsibly.
I believe there are ways to recruit college students responsibly. I don't believe the way EA is doing it really has a chance to be responsible.
In part because the thing that it funnels them into is not yet responsible for a general college audience.
I would say the way EA is doing it can't filter and inform the way healthy recruiting needs to. And they're funneling people into something that naivete hurts you in. I think aggressive recruiting is bad for both the students and for EA itself.
Well, the thing, even while I notice I'm like sad and worried hearing about this, because I'm like, shit, how much is my opinion of EA going to change by the end of this conversation? It's kind of scary.
Yes, stakes.
I even noticed that even before I know any of the details, I don't have any evidence of any of these things that you're starting to allude to. One thing I notice is that I do really like what I hear in the, like, sort of call to integrity that I'm hearing in what you're saying. Like, you're clearly showing a very deep values alignment with EA that existed before the community even existed.
I would say alignment with stated values.
Ouch. Ouch. Okay. Well, that's just going for the jugular, but that's a crux. That's definitely a crux. If you convince me, if I believe that EA's true values, whatever that means, are not like in high integrity or not aligned with the values I want it to have, then I'm not going to want to lend my name to the movement. But, and I guess maybe this is a chance for my first sort of like starting position or something, like I do still call myself an EA. I've never stopped calling myself an EA since, you know, I joined GiveWell back in 2013. So I've been an EA, and if I'm part of a community that I have some cultural heritage in or like some history with or some shared something with, and then they start making mistakes, then there's a question of at what point have they made so much mistake that I'm like out. And I haven't gotten there yet. And maybe in part I feel more, whether correctly or incorrectly, like these are some cruxes I'm kind of starting to hint at. Yeah, I currently believe that if I saw how things are clearly enough, then I would be able to convince EA leadership, whatever that is, and whether or not it includes me, to update appropriately. And while I think I'm seeing some things that's kind of in the communal blind spot right now, I think that if I saw it even better, I'd be able to actually talk to them about it, and that it would actually change something.
I have a really heartbreaking story.
Oh, shit.
I had had vague concerns about EA for years, but had never written them up because I couldn't get a good enough handle on it. It wouldn't have been crisp. And I had seen too many people go insane with their why I left EA backstories.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there were problems, but couldn't articulate them, and was in, I think, a pretty similar state to where you are now.
Mm.
And then I found a crisp encapsulation where I could gather data and prove my point and then explain it clearly so everyone could see it.
You had your chance to do this thing.
And I did it. I worked really hard on it for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And it dropped like a stone through the water, and I don't think it made any difference at all. Regardless of whether anyone should be an EA, that was the line for me being an EA. They had these things that were unacceptable to me. They made my epistemics worse. And I had done everything I could to fix them.
Right.
I had used up that trailhead. I didn't have anything else.
That's really sad. I'm sorry.
It was a real bummer, yeah.
Are you up for sharing?
What I realized in summer of 22, FTX summer, was...
Oh, God. Thanks for labeling that year.
I was surrounded at Lightcone offices by new college grads or even people taking a year off of college.
Uh-huh.
Who had gone vegan for moral reasons.
Uh-huh.
Because of their involvement with EA, but for whom their primary mission was AI safety or community building for AI safety.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not really entrenched with any vegan elders.
Right.
And one of them already had B12 neuropathy. I was picking up on other problems. Suddenly it all crisped in my head. I want to be really precise here. There existed EA vegan advocates who had been very anti-truth-seeking. Others of them were neutral, and many of them were great. I'm not saying this is a problem with vegans. I'm just saying this problem exists. They had recruited a bunch of new vegans and told them veganism required no additional effort or thought. And then those new vegans weren't entrenched in any communities where they could have gotten the tacit vegan knowledge without having to admit that's what was going on. And it was hurting them. So I got them nutritional testing. It showed roughly what I thought. And this was like a whole thing. I applied for a grant. I had to test a lot of people. It's a logistical nightmare. I found exactly what I thought I would, that there were serious nutritional issues. Not in everyone, but enough that people should have been concerned.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I could prove that vegan advocates had been lying and this was causing harm. And from there, I could prove that EA had failed in noticing these obvious lies that everyone knew. but had failed to push back on and had thus let younger people who didn't know better fall victim to, mm-hmm. because it made the vegans too sad and angry to correct them.
Mm. I noticed that all of that felt really solid until the part where you proved, I think it was the thing that I'm guessing you proved off screen or something, but that you proved that EA had been actively ignoring, like actively prioritizing politics over truth and integrity and the health of young EAs.
Yeah, so I don't know that any particular person made that conscious decision.
Mm-hmm. Although that's not necessarily a crux.
That's where I'm going with this. That's not a crux. I don't think anyone said we can't drive away these vegans. I think they said, well, this is too unpleasant to argue about, and everyone knows they're wrong, so I'm not going to bother. And I believe that's what people did, because that's what everyone I knew did, including a lot of people with ethical concerns about eating animals. But it was not worth arguing with those subset of very loudly wrong advocates.
When I think of, like, my life experience, which includes me, for example, like, going vegan in college less than a year after I didn't know what the word meant because I read Peter Singer's Practical Ethics freshman year and then went from being apolitical to political and, you know, normal diet to vegan and whatever else. I have definitely heard people in my life say you can go vegan without any supplements or, like, you don't need to worry about the nutrition. But I can't recall a time I've heard an EA say that. And then when I was trying to search my brain for, like, have I ever heard an EA say it, blah, 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 then I'm like, well, where would I expect this to be said if it was said at all? And I was like, oh, I don't think I've been to any of those meetings.
I'm primarily pointing to Facebook and then there are...
social media. Then you can actually literally trace them having said the thing and no one responds in comments. Like, it's not just like a comment at a party. You're talking about a publicly written...
A lot of what I'm complaining about are their comments on other people's threads. Mm. And so an example would be, well, this would have been maybe 2014, maybe 2015. Seattle-ier watched a couple of the animal farming suffering documentaries. Mm-hmm. And everyone was, of course, horrified, but not everyone was ready to just jump on, let's give this up entirely forever. Mm-hmm. So we started doing more research. Mm-hmm. And I posted about the farm a couple hours away that did live tours, mm-hmm. and that seemed like a reasonable thing to learn, like a limited but useful thing. And J.C. Reese, who did not live in Seattle and had never been to Seattle, commented saying, like, no, that's not how cows actually live. The only moral compromise is vegetarianism. And when I said, no, my doctor actually, like, ordered me to eat meat, he said he didn't know of any condition that needed that, with the implication that it therefore didn't exist. JC did this a lot, and I realized that was, like, a long time ago, because he went quiet on Facebook and then got exiled from EA for unrelated reasons, but he won. I may have won that fight or that comment thread by telling him, no, this is important, this is reasonable. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't a second thread trying to think through the nuances of the issue because he and a couple other people made it too costly. And if you look at my post, I've got a long list of these with screenshots, although he deleted his Facebook, so his are mostly gone.
Let me see if I can paraphrase that. Your experience was that when you and the Seattle EAs were learning about animal suffering, you were posting on Facebook about what you guys were learning and what outstanding questions you had, and there was some sort of consistent experience of JC and another person responding kind of like militantly, like clearly having an agenda or like pushing for a thing rather than good epistemic norms. And then just that behavior itself causing a further epistemic harm, communal epistemic harm, of people not being willing to ask honest questions about veganism.
Yeah, that the discussion moved out of public zones where, you know, more reasonable vegan advocates could have given more nuanced information, because no one wanted to deal with these couple of people yelling at them.
Mm.
You couldn't have the nuanced conversations while they were there.
Happen in a community we were in as we would want that behavior to be recognizable as inappropriate and itself, like, commented on and exiled if necessary.
Yeah. What I would have loved to have happened is give JC a forum to state his case as much as he wants. And I would particularly have liked other vegans to show up in the comments and say, JC, you're insane. Obviously, there are trade-offs. We do it because it's worth it, not because it's trivial.
Mm-hmm.
I would also have loved if anyone in those conversations had recognized the people for whom veganism is easiest are the most likely to be vegan.
That sounds very sad and frustrating. Did you notice that's what was happening at the time?
I was certainly aware that, like, me and my friends just started bitching in private and didn't bother having these conversations in public. I did not think ahead to who won't know this and won't hear unless we are talking. I didn't notice that until I met the FTX Summer Baby EAs.
Got it. Before we go on in that direction, if you're up for it, I was noticing I'm wanting to add, I do remember at some point, like around 2014, 2015, there being one person in a social media, they were in Facebook threads, maybe Jeff Kaufman was the one that wrote up some systematic, like, you're like violating the epistemic conversation norms. That stands out as a, like, I had never seen a community do that so reasonably before, and so that... Anyway, that kind of, like, weighs in the opposite direction, or certainly did at the time, and when I wasn't aware of the JC problem.
There were many ways to do that worse, but that took hundreds of man hours.
Yeah, I got the impression that it was, like, it took the courage of an army to throw a pinprick.
And there were still people in the comments defending him with very stupid defenses.
Not because they were associated with him, but just because they were, like, playing some role of defending the victim?
In some cases, they were associated with him, but not in all cases.
Yeah.
A system that requires that much work to get rid of that obvious bad actor is screwed.
Right, so that's actually... So, right, you could take that as a positive data point of some kind. You can also take it as, an early warning sign.
Yeah.
So part of me is tempted to go wherever you were going before I went to this aside about the other data point. But another part of me is curious to jump to the end of, like, what do you think the current state is of, like, communal epistemic norms?
My overall take is that the natural life cycle of movements and institutions is to get captured and be pretty undifferentiated from other movements in their larger cultural context. They just get normal because normal is there for a reason and normal is easiest. And if you want to do better than that, if you want to keep high epistemics, because normal does not prioritize epistemics, you need to be actively fighting for it and bringing a high amount of skill to it. I can't tell you if EA is degrading at, like, 5% a year or 25% a year.
Mm.
I can tell you that it is not self-correcting enough to escape this trap.
Awesome. That's a beautiful metaphor. Reminds me of mops, geeks, and sociopaths. But I like something about your articulation better. It felt inspiring, honestly, to imagine this sort of, like, landscape of cultures that have, where the, like, mass globalist culture has sort of merged into a stale, like, carapace or whatever. And these other add-ons, because there's an ongoing ecosystem of, like, a churn of new cultures growing large enough to be added and other ones falling off and deteriorating or something. But I'm now getting this, I had this image as you were talking of, like, you know, the EA movement, like, growing large enough to, like, actually be relevant, and then it being starting to fall into the gravitational pull of this blob. I have kind of a felt sense of, like, the type of, like, passion and, like, integrity that it would take to, like, resist this gravitational, basically you're camping out on the edge of the gravity well.
Exactly.
Where you have to maintain an active force. This makes me think, okay, well, we should do an orbit. I don't know what that would mean in this case, but you have to find a way to sustain a counterforce.
Because just naturally being high integrity isn't a stable equilibrium. It's something you have to fight
well,
for.
I don't think that's an absolute truth, but I think that you've described a way in which it's locally true. And in fact, that's a little bit maybe relates to a crux I was going to suggest. I noticed that if I adopt your story and I'm like, yep, EA is already in the decline of its like originality, creative force, and it's destined to only ever collapse further to the normal, then I'm like, that doesn't feel like a label I want to own. That said, I would believe that EA has been degrading in the way you're saying, and that it might nonetheless have a surprising reversal. It might discover what it means to have integrity. And that act of seeing its own blind spot might be a huge generating force of energy that does help unlock the the restructuring of EA integrity.
I would be delighted if that happened. But I think it gets harder to do that every year as EA dilutes itself, doubling with college students every 2 years.
Mm.
What I think likely than EA pivoting is a handful of people launch a lifeboat and recreate a high integrity version.
In some EA Prime thing.
Yeah.
Totally. That makes sense. So, in fact, this is the first time I could imagine that maybe making sense now. Like, I could imagine that if there were a crew of, 30 to 100 of us, that we really saw each other on this. That sounds like it would be cool and valuable enough that I'd be like, yeah, it's worth, putting a garden wall around it, having a label on it, and having it be a different label, and, going from there.
One reason I'm doing this podcast now is to make it easier to find people like that.
Cool. I just wanted to say that given your experience of you see this degradation already happening, you make your big hurrah of a 2-year effort to call integrity into power, and it failed. I think that is absolutely the right time to leave the movement. I find it very unlikely that you shouldn't have left the movement. But I think I do still have a chance of maybe convincing you that it's correct that I haven't left the movement yet. I would say maybe we would agree that I should do my version of what you did.
That is exactly what I wanted to ask you.
Great.
Is it feels like you are in the place I was in a year ago of this is too bad to stay, too good to leave.
Right.
The only third path is try and improve it.
Right. And then appropriately to give up if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I think that's a great strategy overall. If everyone did that, it just scales beautifully.
So would you do it?
Sure.
I'm curious for details.
I've been feeling called into higher integrity myself as an individual the last 3 years especially. And in that process I've noticed that I naturally also, whether intentionally or not, end up calling the institutions I participate in into towards higher integrity, whatever that means. When I've gone to workshops, I'm now much more often speak up, and I'm the annoying person who's not willing to pretend the thing that we're all pretending around here or whatever. Anyway, so when you invite me, when I hear the invitation from you, hey, will you make your stand? I hear that as every true wizard must test the integrity of their teacher or of their school, Hogwarts, whatever the thing is. The reason you don't get to graduate until you actually test the integrity of the school is because if you're just taking it on its own word, then you could become a villain. You have to respect your own moral compass to be able to be trusted.
Yeah, and this was one of the things I feel betrayed by EA for, but also blame myself for. I was just too trusting and too accepting of what they told me.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't that many actions I regret just because my energy was going into Wave, and I still think Wave is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But EA makes a lot of noise about arguing within itself,
mm-hmm.
and yet there's a reason so much criticism on EA Forum is anonymous, and the criticism on Less Wrong is all done under people's stable pseudonym or real name.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I would be really happy if you took this as a call to start fighting for the thing you believe in. Start fighting to make it better.
Yeah, I'm hoping you can help me figure out, like, what the biggest breach of my sense of integrity there is. Like, help me point the, you know, the laser or whatever.
Okay.
Because I've never been involved in the social media game of EA or rationality, like, more than, like, you know, a couple Facebook posts or something a year. But I feel like I've gotten all of my experience in the movement through, like, in person in the East Bay, basically, for better and for worse.
Let me ask you a question. Which EA leaders do you most resonate with?
This is Timothy, 1 month later speaking, but redacting my original answer. I noticed that when you asked that question, what I want to give you is like a list of all the people I trust. And it's a list of friends, old and new, mostly old, from like a decade ago, and some that I've kept in touch with and some that I have not. And I love all these people. And, you know, some of them, I have some overdue conversations that I want to have with them, and others of them, we talk all the time, and I've had all the debates I want to have with them or something. I believe that all of them are acting in good faith, even when I sometimes think that I see a blind spot that they might not be as aware of as I am or something. And of course, half the time I think that I'm wrong and it's actually my own blind spot. But, yeah, so instead of, you know, after I reported my original answer, I realized that, you know, most of my friends don't actually want to be talked about in public. It's, and maybe especially in connection with the EA movement. And, that's sad. And I think it speaks against the health of the EA movement right now. And I think it's part related to the reasons you left. So I think it's a very valid question. And I think the fact that I can't answer freely without hesitation is meaningful. So redaction counter going up.
I would suggest that if you don't care about the movement leaders who have any steering power, you're not in that movement. One of the things that contributed to me officially resigning from EA was I looked at the leaders, by which I mean like the splashy public leaders of the masses, not specific people in groups that they lead. And I actively disrespected several of them and couldn't name one I trusted or respected.
This is Timothy speaking, a month later. I'm trying to replace a section of the podcast where I referenced Will McCaskill and then proceeded to loop in social fear of trying to figure out what I should say and imagining it being public and failing to say things coherently and efficiently. So this is what I would have said instead if I didn't have that fear. I noticed one other name that I want to mention as a potential high integrity EA leader is Will McCaskill. And I noticed hesitating to name him for a couple of reasons that I'm just going to list right now. So if you're listening, hi, Will, love you. Sorry, we haven't talked in since the pandemic or so, but I think it's just we've both been busy. If this was 5 years ago before the pandemic, I would have just listed Will without reservation. I haven't kept up with him. And then in the last year, I had two different people give me secondhand accounts of his post on SBF, like the sort of FTX SBF fallout. And the two people that I heard secondhand accounts from of what that post said, I was unhappy with the post secondhand. And still now, even 1 month after this original podcast was recorded, I still haven't managed to read the post. So my entire concern about it is secondhand. Nonetheless, I'm not yet sure if Will has seen the blind spot that led to SBF and FTX that all of us who were involved in early EA have bear some responsibility for. That said, I've heard Elizabeth say that Will deserves credit for being the only EA, quote-unquote, leader that has said anything big in public about SBF and FTX. And I agree with her. That's really important that we have our leadership saying things publicly. And so I'm glad that he did.
My take on EA as a whole, and I'm very much including myself when I entered it, is it's a lot of people who are trying to resolve their need to follow orders and not take responsibility for their own actions with the fact that they were ordered to think for themselves. EA lets you feel like you're independent when you are in fact taking orders from people who themselves don't actually want to give orders or take responsibility. They just want to cooperate with existing power structures. That is their model of how to move through the world.
Hearing you gave me a vision of a different world where EA would be better served by having leadership that actually was willing to own their power more.
Which you'll notice even Holden won't do.
Yeah, he literally doesn't want the power.
Yeah, none of them do. CEA doesn't want it.
Right, and it's related to the earnest. Like, I actually think there's a sense that I think it's actually probably correlated with the earnestness, the deep earnestness of the original crew of EA leaders. And also, it's actually a problem. Like, you if you're going to have a big enough movement, you actually want leaders who are not just leading in their shadow, but are like, hey, I feel called to lead. Which means, like, I'm going to, like, be the scapegoat, and I'm going to be the one, like, making big level observations, and if you come to me with a problem, I'm going to try to align the integrity of our entire community around the truth.
I would love if EA had that. Even if I disagreed with them.
Right, it gives you someone to talk to.
And, you know, if not everything has to be for me, it's right. So sad to me that EA is collapsing or diluting.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether I'm in it, there was something so good there.
Just came up with a great comedy shtick that I hope you'll love, which is that let's do a improv comedy podcast where I am EA's new leader. And I will attempt to fully own all of my power, which is, of course, mostly imaginary. And by trying to play the part, like an improv character, of the actual high integrity EA leader.
I could see this being really therapeutic.
Oh my god, and I think it would be might be therapeutic for a whole freaking community, which you have disowned, apparently. Sorry, I just wanted to do that playfully.
Okay.
To go back to the fight. I think you're doing God's work, to be clear. Like,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate your high integrity, and obviously, like, I imagine if people do listen to this, this is going to be like, they didn't talk about any content. Like, there's no specific evidence.
I wrote down my evidence.
Yeah, you already wrote down your evidence, and, like, honestly, so much of this, in my mind, does come down to the integrity, and, like, it's really easy to feel your integrity, like, your earnestness, and the way, it's not just earnestness, but it's also the way that I see you taking yourself so seriously. Which is part of the leadership that you wanted to see and didn't see.
Oh, thank you. That feels really good to have you say. Anyways, I asked you what leaders you respected. You listed people you respect and would follow, ?
Totally. All the people that I respect, I'd be happy to follow if the conditions were appropriate. Yeah.
If you showed me leaders who I respect as much as you respect these people, and who said they wanted followers and could make use of them and identified as EA, I might reconsider my position at that point.
Wow, cool.
I would much more likely identify as, like, I think this person is smart rather than NEA.
Rather than
because
right.
I don't think it's a coincidence that those people aren't loudly identifying as EAs.
Yeah, we're definitely getting evaporative cooling, I mean, which is unfortunate. This is part of what makes it feel like my chance to, like, step up or get out. I haven't, like, finished giving EA the chance to, like, pass my integrity test, but if this conversation is partly making me think that it's time.
Yeah, I want you to give them that test.
Right, exactly. Maybe it takes the form of this improv podcast where, like, I'm like, this is how we should obviously respond to these questions this person's bringing, right? Mm-hmm. And then you later tell me, like, or, like, 2 seconds after I say that, you're like, I agree with you, and here's what happened instead. And then I'll be like, okay, then we should fire that person. And you'll be like, agreed, and here's what happened instead. And then we'll generate a list of, like, 100 things where I'm like, well, if Elizabeth is telling the truth about what these things that happened, here's my stance on those all being wrong. I feel like we've made a little bit of progress in our double crux.
Yeah, I feel like the cruxes are, or the next steps are, you're going to launch your version of my campaign where you try and change EA for the better in ways that might cause you to give up if they don't work.
Let me try re-saying my version because this feels important. I am reserving the right to change my mind because this is, like, the first time I'm really seriously considering. But, like, while we're talking, I'm feeling called towards, like, a kind of step up or step out moment. I've been thinking about and wondering about and talking about with friends, like, the strengths and blind spots of EA for a decade. But it's actually coming to a point where there's enough signs of lack of health, and I have enough signs that I'm seeing at least part of the blind spot that I think is missing, that I'm like, look, if you're a member of the community, you should fix the problem. If you try to fix the problem and you get shut out because you're trying to fix the problem, you should leave.
I love you having a stand up or stand down
moment.
Great.
So I literally think the best way, as far as I can tell, is for us to do this improv thing where you adopt the rules.
That's the end of this episode, but tune in for, I don't know, sometime maybe when we will interview mythical, perfect EA leader, Tim.